And we're going to be speaking tonight on the subject of God's nobodies. Now, when I mention God's nobodies, I'm saying it relatively as to the world and what the world thinks many times of the children of God, and yea, the servants of God. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find that the world was not worthy when it mentions the hall of faith and those who endured great trials and tribulations, and the Bible says the world was not worthy, really, of these. But tonight we want to examine the calling of God's chosen, God's people, and you'll find amazing ways that God does call and the amazing ways that God does use people. It's amazing when we get to thinking and studying about it. The Bible says tonight in verse 26, "Ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, the things which are mighty, base things of the world, and things which are despised as God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him that glory in the Lord." Now, Brother Ron said that we had all the time we wanted, didn't he? Well, I don't know. That's a dangerous thing to say. But you know, as you look, there are four or five things that a message ought to do around us, and preaching of the Word of God will do. Thought about these this week as I studied concerning this message, that message should, when we preach the Word of God, will exalt Christ. Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sakes." So tonight, when we stand and we preach God's Word, we want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think those who are true to God's Word and preach thus saith the Word of God are exalting the Lord Jesus Christ in their message, in their lives. We find that we want to share Christ with those that are lost, that it ought to be evangelistic and Lord as the way that it should go forward. The Bible says that Paul said, "I am debtor both to the Greek and the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise. For as much as in me is, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's a power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So we should be ready to preach the gospel to those that are lost. It ought to build up the saint. It ought to build the church up. The Word of God, as it's preached, ought to be something that strengthens. Brother Donald talked about in our Sunday school devotional this morning about the word edification, edification of the body. And it means to strengthen the body, to give strength to it. And the Word of God should give strength to the saints of God. And the Word of God should encourage. It should encourage. And tonight's message, the purpose is to encourage us as God's people, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you look at these verses tonight and you will find that the word "God hath chosen" is used some three times. God hath chosen. He chosen the, as we might say, the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. The base things of the world, he says, to confound the wise. As we might, or foolish things to confound the wise, the base things of the world to confound those that are despised, or those that will despise the gospel. And it's an amazing of who God will choose and who God will use to carry forth his word, to accomplish his work in the world today. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9 that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and then he says a peculiar people. We are peculiar in our own each way, aren't we? I mean, tonight, when you get to looking at, first of all, I say, the church in itself, we all have our different characteristics. We each experience Christ in our life if we've been saved and born again. But we still bear our same characteristics as we live. And God uses in those characteristics for his honor and glory. Now, I've been associated with the ministry now some nearly 40 years. And I can tell you something, that there has been characters in the ministry that I've met. There have been some characters. You might look and think, well, how in the world would God or could God use such an individual? But yet, God can and God does. Look at me. I'm a character tonight, and to the world, and yea, to many in, I am very peculiar, as we note tonight. But as you look here tonight, it talks about the peculiarity of those servants that God would choose. Unlike the world might choose in a different way. But yet God has chosen things. Why? That men might see what God can do. And men might give God the honor and the glory from the accomplishments that are made. You just look back on characters tonight in the Bible. Take, for instance, Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible. Moses, can you imagine that little boy that was found in the bulrush, in that little, as we might say, cradle, that God would take and over 140-year span of training, God would take and lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. You would think that, my, he would might be a strong, that he might be a well-educated in the philosophies of all the world. But what did God do? God, in the last, you might say, the middle 40 years of his life, he took him on the backside of nowhere, let him be forgotten, that he might do what? Lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. That people might see what? That it was God leading his children out from Egyptian bondage, not Moses. God just used Moses to accomplish his will. I think of the character that we've just studied recently, and that is Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite. As you think, I think of a man that's dressed in the wilderness garb. Therefore, he had on his sheepskin. He had the mantle on. And my, here was a man that God would confront what? God took him and God confronted kings with this man, Elijah. Amazing, isn't it? And then you think of Elisha. Where was Elisha when Elijah found him? If I remember correctly, he was plowing with what? 12 yoke of oxen. He was with the 12th one as he was plowing in the field. You say, Brother Danny, that old farmer boy would never be much for God. But look what Elisha did for the honor and the glory of God. You look tonight at the prophets, and you can look at men like Jonah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, others that to this world seem so weak, to this world seem so uneducated. But what did God do? God called them, and God used them to accomplish his purpose. You take tonight the apostles, 12 fishermen. And what did God do with those 12 fishermen? He turned this world upside down for the cause of Christ with those 12 fishermen who were young boys that Jesus came and called and used for his honor and for his glory. And as we note tonight, to every believer, we are a special creation in God. Yes, chosen of God to do a particular service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look at this text tonight, there are two things that will stand out. One of all tonight, first of all, that listen, God's servants are selected by Him. And the second thing we're going to learn is that God's servants are located in Christ Jesus. Look back at that verse tonight that God's nobodies are selected or chosen by God. Isn't it an honor that the God of this universe, the God who created it all, would step down and call you and I? Isn't that an honor tonight? You think about tonight, the one who spoke this world into existence with all of his might, with all of his power, would come down to individuals such as you and I, such as to me tonight, and would call us to salvation, invite us to salvation. My, what a wonder. But you think tonight, as you look, and I think of the ministry tonight, that God would come down, and for some unknown reason that has not yet been revealed to me, God would come down and touch Danny Stanford, that old boy that was saved by the grace of God, and that He would call him to preach His Word. That is a mystery to me. We are selected by Him. Now the Bible says, if you look at verse 27 again, look at that statement. God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He's chosen the base things of the world, and the things for to despise hath God chosen. Now, folk, as you look and study this tonight, you'll find that, listen, God could have, and God does sometimes, call the mighty to perform His work, doesn't He? That's not saying tonight that God doesn't reach down and call the athlete, that's strong, that's powerful, to do a special ministry to Him. I think tonight of a Tim Tebow, and he is a great athlete, and he speaks out for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe he's a Christian tonight by his attitude and by his actions, and you look tonight, there's very few in the athletic world that God would reach out and call and use as a special service of the ministry, doesn't it? You look down tonight, and you look at the entertainment world, the movie stars, so to speak, and there are very, very, very few that God calls and uses for a particular service. Yet you look, He'll cause the weak things. He'll cause the foolish things of this world to step out and to go and to speak and do His work. And so tonight, God's nobodies. They are chosen by Him. Literally, they are called by Him, not by man. Turn back to John chapter 1 tonight. John chapter 1. We find that the Bible says in verse 11 that Jesus came unto His own. That's the Jew. And the Jews received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now note this statement in verse 13, which were born, not of blood. That means tonight to me that, listen, whether you're Jew or Gentile, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're born of God. It takes the new birth. John chapter 3. Except a man be born of what? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So tonight a person might stand up as they did in Romans 1, 2, and 3 and say, my, listen, I am of a particular religion. No. I am of a particular race. No. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need the new birth tonight. And folk, we're not born of human blood. We're born from above. The blood of Jesus is imparted into our lives for our righteousness. But He also says here tonight in verse 13, nor the will of flesh, that is not of our own working, not of our own calling. We don't call ourselves tonight. Now realize tonight as we think about, and let us be sure tonight that says that God gives us the invitation and He calls us to be saved through the Holy Spirit, the working of the Word of God. But you'll note tonight in His servants, those that He chooses tonight to use for ministry. I realize tonight that perhaps there are many that have been self-called. And I'm not judging tonight. But by their fruits ye shall know them. And folk, you look, listen tonight. Nor the will of the flesh. May I say tonight, the ministry is not in it for those who are intended to make money. Amen. It's not intended to make you a rich man to enter the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, folk, listen. There are many today that want the glory. That's why they get in the ministry, so to speak. That they might see the glory that might be put upon them. Their ministry many times is made out of money and of those things. And then He says, not only that, by the will of man. That is from a human speaking, being, as we look back in our study this morning, of being preacher called. being preacher called, wearing the preacher's coattail necessarily to heaven. That just don't work. Many today are preacher called, I'm afraid. And it worries me today that we might use our emotions. We might use our sad stories to move on man's emotions. And folk, listen, we're headed farther than man's emotions. We want God's work to do the work in the heart of man and God's word to do the real work in the conviction of the Spirit in the heart of man, not just dealing with our emotions. We find tonight, and I use that tonight, and I use that in illustration tonight, And bound in our area here a while back, several years ago, two or three years ago, there was this man. Someone shot his wife and children, if I understand it right. And this man showed the act of forgiveness. And he would come around to churches and he would tell his stories, sad stories. And you know, many times you can move people by emotions on sad stories, isn't it? Folk, if I understand tonight, it's the gospel that moves us into the truth and convicts us tonight. We're not called by the will of man. I have seen preachers many times that I have seen, and I have thought that were mama called. That is, mama called them to service, and mama called them to ministry, and sad to say, not God. There's an old boy, and you're going to get mad at me tonight, but you just have to get mad at me. There was an old boy, he was under my preaching, and he was always coming, if God, show me how God, and how he calls, and all these things. But he wanted to be another Billy Graham, and in fact, I called him Little Billy. That was my name for him, Little Billy. And he would get up, and he would speak just like Billy Graham. And you know, when the invitation was given, he would act just like Billy Graham. He would stand back and he would just act just like Billy Graham. Well, let me tell you something tonight, folk. God doesn't call us by Billy Graham. God calls us by His Word. He challenges us by His Word to be us. Isaiah was Isaiah. Jeremiah was Jeremiah. The apostles were the apostles themselves, and God called them by His grace. And so tonight we find that there are so many that I feel tonight that in this world, too many are letting man influence them instead of God and God's Word. But tonight I want to note just very quickly, when we find God selecting men, the master's minority, those that God uses, those that God has chosen to minister on His behalf. I want you to just look at them with me once again. The Bible says back in verse 26, note this statement. It didn't say that God didn't use any. It just simply states that God didn't use many of the wise. God didn't use many of the mighty. If God chose and selected through His sovereign grace, He could have. But God chooses to use what? He chooses to make sure that whatever He uses is going to give Him the glory. And as the Bible says, no flesh should glory in themselves in His sight. We're going to find that we're going to give God the honor and glory and not brag on ourselves. As a matter of fact, folk, when we get to glory, when we get to heaven, according to Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, the saints of God are not going to brag on themselves, but they're going to say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us." We're not going to stand back and say, "Look what I've done." It's going to be, "Look what Jesus has done," and give Him the glory. And those that God calls and those that God uses, He uses in that sense. I want you to turn in Mark chapter 10 tonight. I want to give you kind of a paraphrase tonight, use an illustration from Mark chapter 10. Jesus had gone forth, and there came a rich young ruler that met another young man. And he met the young man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here was a young man that came to Jesus. He came to the right person. He came to Jesus. He's the only Savior. And he asked the right question. What must I do that I might have or inherit eternal life? And Jesus gave him the right answer. I mean, here was a man that was a good moral person. He was morally, as he looked at the commandments and all those things. But you remember what he was. He was very rich. And the Bible said that Jesus said unto him, "Go sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, Now you say, Brother Dan, Jesus was going to take all those things away from him. No, he wasn't. He was just going to show him what true wealth was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that young man, the Bible says, gave the wrong response. He went away very sorrowful, for he had many riches. But that prompted the disciples to ask a question unto Jesus. They asked Jesus, listen, Jesus said to them, how hard it is for those who have riches to be saved. Now, folk, don't you note, Jesus didn't say it was impossible. He didn't say it was impossible for the rich to be saved. He said, how hard is it for the rich to be saved? And then we find he made the statement, it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for these riches to humble down and seek after God. But I want you to know what Jesus said. With man, it might be impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. And I'll say again, God can reach down and God can save those that are wealthy just as good as He can save the old poor man out here. He saved Abraham. He saved Job. They were rich men in this world. And God used them. But when you look at the compass of all the people, of all the people that God uses, folk, you listen. He says, not many mighty, not many wealthy, as you look, are used for the honor of God. Why? Because they seek that honor themselves. Now, you don't want me to get on politics tonight, but I can't help. Mr. Trump, how he loves to brag on himself. Goodness gracious. He just loves to tell how rich he is. He just loves to tell and talk of his wealth. My folk, Lord, help us show a little humility in our lives. Help us to show, where does those riches come from? Where does that wealth come from? This is lacking in many people in the world today. So we find today that God says, listen, normally the athlete, normally the intellectual, he's going to bring glory to himself. But I want you to note tonight, even those who calls, even those who surrender to God and God uses for ministry, folk, you listen, they are not perfect people. Right? You say, oh, Brother Danny, they're perfect people. Now let's just begin to think about it. They say, and you'll find a book, Walking with the Giants, and D.L. Moody was one of the greatest preachers or evangelists of our time. But you know, as you search his history, and look at his biography, it says that D.L. Moody was one of the most uneducated men that's ever seen in the ministry. It is said that D.L. Moody, when he got up, would butcher the King's English. I mean, here is a man that he didn't have all the education in the world, and he didn't have all the elegance of a speaker, but God used that tongue to do what? Bring many souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think tonight of another one, Billy Sunday. They said when you looked at Billy Sunday preach in the pulpit, he was like an acrobat as he moved about in the pulpit. And you would wonder, how could Billy Sunday ever get people's attention? He was a great baseball player. But what did God do? God took that man, and even though he was a great acrobat, in the pulpit, going from one place to the other, up one aisle, down the other, God took that man and used him to bring souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll hear many times we quote Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher. But you listen, I'm told that Charles Spurgeon had a bad smoking habit as he loved to smoke. You say, well, Brother Danny, how in the world could God use that for His honor and glory? That's in the sovereign selection of God, who He chooses that will bring honor and glory to Him. Now, folk, I want to tell you tonight, I wouldn't tell a preacher. And we've all got our little peculiarities. We've got all got our little mistakes. Amen. But I'll tell you what tonight. God uses the weak things. He uses the foolish things. As we look, the base things from this world to use in ministry, to share His Word, and to use in His work. Paul said, "Unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul said, "Who am I that God would lay His hand on me and choose me to share the Word of God?" Folk, you listen. When a preacher, when a servant of God gets to thinking they've arrived, they need the help of God. We all stand in need of God and His power and His strength to do His work. As you note tonight, look at the things that God has accomplished, and look how He's accomplished them and what He's accomplished them through. I use again an Old Testament illustration. Remember, there was a giant, and a giant named Goliath. Remember, he was standing, rebuking the children of Israel, mocking God. And remember what God used. Remember who God used. Look at who God used. It was not the elder. It was not the most handsome. It was this least boy that they wouldn't take into war, too young. But God took him, and God took David, and God took him before Goliath to do what? To fight the battle. But now look what God used. You say, "Brother Danny, David come out there with his old armor. David come out there with his slingshot and bow. And Brother Danny, he was going to get Goliath." No. Look what God used. A sling and 5 smooth stones. And what did God do with those slings and 5 stones in David's hand? He slew the giant. God uses the weak things of this world, the base things of this world, yea, what we would consider foolish things of this world, to accomplish His purpose. Our ways are not God's ways. Man's ways are not God's ways. I thought in the Old Testament of Naaman, the great soldier, the great man that he was, and how that God sent what? God sent Elijah to him, and what did God say to him? He said, "Listen, go dip 7 times in the Jordan, and thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be made clean of your leprosy." How foolish that was. But you know what? That was God's way. And God's way proved to be what? The cleansing of that leper. You go back and you look at Matthew chapter 4 and the choosing of those 12. They weren't learned men. God took those 12 young men, and Jesus called, and Jesus taught them, and Jesus empowered them, and they did what? They shared the gospel, and they were given the opportunity to write down what? The many doctrines that are foundation of the church today. You say, "Brother Danny, weak men as far as the world is concerned. Little men as far as the world is concerned." You probably remember him as he preached over here in your old building. A little redheaded fella named Ray Jones from Clarendon, Arkansas. Brother Ray, what a jewel of a preacher. Brother Ray, God called him to preach. And they had a school in Little Rock, Arkansas. That's where, as you find, many preachers had to go because that was the only school there was. Brother Ray felt that God called him to preach. Therefore, he needed a Christian education. And he went to the seminary. Brother Ray didn't have a high school education. And he therefore didn't have all these things. And Brother Ray sat there, and the professors told Brother Ray, "There's no hope. And Brother Ray, you can't stay here. You can't attend cemetery. You just don't have the education to do it." You know what Brother Ray did? He came back home. He buried his heart. He buried his mind in the Word of God. And God used him mightily in His work and to preach the Word. Base things, foolish things, simple things, God takes and God uses in His Word. Today we've made Christianity a celebrity,
a celebrity event. Today we say, listen, if you really want to get the crowds there, don't put your old-fashioned preacher there. Don't put your old-fashioned Bible preacher there. Let's get a famous singer. Let's get a famous someone to come in and draw the crowd. Therefore, you've got them. Folk, listen, that's not God's way. Not God's way. I think tonight, and you think about Charles Spurgeon, and reading the history of Charles Spurgeon, as he came, there was the circus. And the circus was after P.T. Barnum. P.T. Barnum made an offer to Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was drawing crowds. You remember the Metropolitan Pulpit? You remember that there in that place that his members would have to stay home for the lost to come and attend his service. P.T. Barnum saw those crowds and he had an idea. He said, listen, as he wrote Charles Spurgeon a note, and he said, listen, you come and I'll let you be the front end of this thing. I'll be the front end of this thing. And you'll preach, and then after the preach, we'll have a circus. Charles Spurgeon refused him because he would not lower the standard of the gospel in that means. Oh, today, folk, listen. You say, well, that's just simple. God uses simple things. God uses these things to work in His way. And look what the Bible says in the latter verses, in verse 29. That no flesh should glory in His presence. No flesh. God's the one that deserves the glory. God tonight. Folk, listen. You and I that are saved tonight. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We didn't do anything. We haven't done anything to save ourselves. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, and I get it in a minute, our righteousness in the sight of God is but filthy rags. What work could we do to ever merit our salvation tonight? No whatsoever. And therefore tonight, if we're going to brag and if we're going to boast, we better do it about the one who's done the work, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The minority will manifest that it's God's glory, that it's God's accomplishments. They will not want the glory coming to them, but to the Savior who has bought them and purchased them. And yea, even selected us to share forth the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, listen, our selection, how marvelous that God would condescend and call us. I use Spurgeon again. Someone asked him if he would harmonize the thing of predestination and election. And he said, my, that is a mystery. That is a mystery. But he said, listen, the greatest mystery to me is why God would reach down and call me to preach His Word. What a mystery. The mystery of His grace. But I want to share with you another thing tonight. Look what the Bible says again in verse 30. The Bible says to us, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now that's our location tonight. That's where God's nobodies are located, in Christ Jesus. Now if you'll turn to verse 30, it says this, that's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He talks about wisdom. And we said Wednesday night, true wisdom is coming to Calvary. He talked about the wisdom of the cross. And how that when we come to the cross, our hearts and minds are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And there we begin to accept and see true wisdom. Now tonight you'll find a kind of what we call a triangle of wisdom. And note what he says tonight. He uses the word righteousness, he uses the word sanctification, and he uses the word redemption. Righteousness, God's absolute standard of perfection. His purity, His holiness. The Bible says tonight, God is holy. And tonight, folk, listen, that is the perfect righteousness of God that only can be imputed into our hearts and our lives. Once again, our righteousness in His sight is but filthy rags. But tonight, listen, Paul said, be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is the faith of the Son of God. The righteousness of Christ imputed in our behalf. You look tonight, and you look at my bank account, My bank account is dwindling. As a matter of fact, if you look at the bank account, I'm in the black. I'm in the black. But you'll find here comes Jesus. And what does He do? He imputes His righteousness into that bank account. And what does it do? It just fills it up. It just makes it perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification. If righteousness is imputed, sanctification is imparted. Sanctification has meanings of set apart, but it also means this. It means a growth process of progressive sanctification. What did Paul admonish the Corinthians to do this morning? Grow. Grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you and I grow, we're being what? Sanctified. Don't let that word scare you. Don't let it scare you. It just simply means a growth process in our lives. As you, someone has said, and I read this story this week, and it told a special meaning, but it was true. Dr. Adrian Rogers, in one of his messages, referred to A.J. Gordon. A.J. Gordon went to a fair one time, and he looked in the distance, and he saw a man pumping water. He said the closer he got to that man pumping water, he discovered something. It wasn't a man at all of flesh. It was just a man made out of wood. And he was there and they fixed that. He's at the well and he's just pumping water. The truth is, it was an artesian well. And you know what an artesian well does, doesn't it? It flows within its own power. It flows within itself. And folk, listen. That's what John says in John chapter 4. His Spirit within us flows. That's our life in Christ as He flows through us. Galatians 2:20. Redemption. What? We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Ronald, I listened to that tape again this week going down the road by the roots. And there's a particular song that I love. In fact, I'll tell you, it gets you up walking down Hallelujah Boulevard. It really does. And the title of that song is Redemption Complete. Redemption Complete. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, for you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Jesus purchased our complete redemption in His death, burial, and resurrection. He saved my soul, the inward man. Sealed. Contracts been made by the Holy Spirit. But this body one day will be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, and we shall receive our spiritual glorified body. How will it look? I have no idea. I just know that it's going to look fashioned like the Lord Jesus Christ. You say you have no idea. No idea. I just know that it's going to be perfect. I just know that it won't be mortal, that it will be immortal. I just know tonight that it will have no pain. It will need no cures. That you listen. That it will be complete and perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we will be able to say, redemption complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times in this life, we think of ourselves, and we ought to be humble, but we don't need to get really down on ourselves if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, folks, you listen tonight. I can go to Montgomery, or I can go to Washington, D.C. tonight, and I can sit down by the governor, and I can sit down by the President of the United States, and I'll tell you what, in Christ Jesus, I'm up to them. Amen. I'm a child of the King. And I can sit there and be right up to them. But again, God had chosen, and look who He chooses in this world to perform His work. And we would look at it from a human standpoint and say, impossible. But yet God looks through His power. He can say, all things are possible. There was a time nearly 40 years ago that I told God, it's not possible. It is not possible. And folk, scared could be. But God had laid His hand on me, and I couldn't take it off.
and you listen. I look back, and I look back with amazement that this little old boy on an old farm that his mother and daddy didn't even own, they rented, that this little old boy that was saved by the grace of God, I look back of where God has taken me. And you know what? It's just been an amazement. I have a friend, lives in Detroit. She finished school with us. And she knows me. She knew where I was in high school. And she said, you know, you amaze me. You wouldn't even get up and read a book report in school. And I wouldn't. It just scared me to death. You say, well, how can you get up before people? Hey, I could got up in Bryant-Denny Stadium last night and spoke about my Lord, amen, to feel the power of God and the presence of God. Hey, it had been an honor. Probably seen more than they saw last night on the football field, amen. Oh, listen, folk. We might say, oh, I'm not worthy. No, I'm not worthy. But for some amazing purpose, God's grace falls on us. Tonight, you have been chosen of God. Whatever field you're in, you may be a farmer, you may be a nurse, you may be a teacher, you may be a housewife. God has chosen us to preach His Word. But whatever field we're in, God has chosen you for a purpose. And He wants to use you for His purpose as well as me. As to stand tonight, Father, thank You tonight for those who gathered and come out and, Lord, to worship You. God, as we look tonight at what You have chosen to use to bring You honor and glory. Yea, as far as the world concerned, weak things. Far as the world is concerned, Lord, the little base things. Far as the world is concerned, Lord, the foolish things. But oh, unto You, how precious that You can take Your power and put Your grace in their lives. And what He can do through them. What an amazement. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence tonight. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.